Romans chapter 12. We're continuing our series on a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, reading verses 1 and 2. A living sacrifice. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. He is Yahweh. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's read verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, beg you, plead with you, brothers, by the mercies, plural, of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We've gone over this. We're probably now in, I don't know, the sixth week, I guess, on this study, a living sacrifice. We talked about what the mercies of God are, those that are listed in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. He goes over those many mercies, and we've gone over that probably ad nauseum. He says then that in view of those mercies, all of those mercies, all of those graces, all of the goodness of God that he's presented to us, I'm begging you to present your bodies. I mean, that's the least we could do, is to present our bodies. The word present, again, means to surrender, to yield up, to offer up, to hold nothing back, an absolute releasing and complete surrender of our bodies. And it is a priestly term, a technical term, because we are priests of God, and that's what we're to do. We are to we do have chairs up here, too, if somebody needs something to sit down. Yeah. let me just hold a minute. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. As I was saying, we are priests of God. And as priests offered animals that had been slaughtered. They would drain the blood and then present that animal, that dead animal, as a sacrifice to the Lord. But here we're presenting live animals, or live sacrifices rather, in ourselves. So that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We're no longer offering dead animals, but live, in this case, live bodies, and that's who we are. And that's what we're to do. We're to put our body at God's disposal. Meaning, Lord, here's my body. Use it in whatever way that you please. That's what this means. Now, that's a scary term, as I've told the church a few times, because we're Americans. We believe we are autonomous. Autonomous is the Greek breaking down of that word. Auto, meaning self. Nomos, law. We're law to ourselves. We think we have to answer to no one. Not just white folks, but black folks, we're privileged too. That's what sin nature does. But when you're talking about laying down your body as a living sacrifice before God, you are saying to the Lord, here, you are in complete control and in absolute charge of all that I am. I release and relinquish any control that I would try to exert over my body. I release it into your power.
Thank you, Jesus.
Put it at your disposal to use as you see fit, even if it means death. That's why we get scared. Stage 4 cancer for your glory. That's why we get scared. The charismatic would kick me out right at that moment. Whatever you choose to do. Many of God's people don't even realize that Peter, his death, Jesus prophesied in John, the gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. He prophesied and said, this spake Jesus, signifying what death Peter would die to glorify God. It's a scary thing to say, hey, I am presenting my body as a living sacrifice. I am putting it at your disposal to do whatever you want to do with it for your glory. Even if it means the removal of all of my comfort, including my life. That's what this means. A living sacrifice. Your disposal. You're in charge. And I will bow down and accept whatever you do to me for your glory. And I'll embrace it for your glory. Notice, for your glory. Not for your comfort. Not for your safety. For his glory. For his honor. For his excellency. For his majesty. The life we live is not about us. And we still don't understand that. We still don't get it. We'll say, I'll do this for you, Lord, up until a certain point. Because beyond that, you can forget it. Because that's going to cost me too much. And it's amazing that Jesus is our example. He had no stopping point. You know, most pictures and artistic renderings of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, Golgotha's hill. You have a little loincloth on. But in reality, he was absolutely naked. It's a shameful death to die. It's a painful death to die. It's a torturous death. That's why Hebrews 12 and about verse 3 lets us know that he was obedient unto death, even, that's Philippians 2 rather, the death on the cross. It has to make a special notation that the death he died wasn't just any death, because the Paul in his letter to the Philippians could have just said he died a death. Or he was obedient even unto death, period. But then it goes out to add the special notation to what kind of death, because it is so horrible. Even the death on the cross, a death that was reserved and preserved for criminals of the lowest kind. He was stripped naked and he was beaten with the cat of nine tails, at the end of those nine leather thongs were sharpened edges of glass and stone, cut and ripped flesh, also hooks, ripped open flesh, exposing possibly organs in the back. He did that all for those who were sinners and who were called according to his purpose. He died the death that we should have died. He took our place. He died our death. He paid our debt. He has the absolute right to say, give me your body. It's a living sacrifice because I gave you mine. Yes.
Hallelujah. Preachers, they're too scared to preach like this. Man, you can't preach that. You'll empty out the church. Then let it be empty. But I need to obey God. Amen. And preach the whole what? Counsel of God. Let's present. If you're born again today and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord, he's talking to you. So I'm pleading with you. Present that body. Release it. Relinquish it. Put it under my complete control. For my glory to do with it what I want. And as I choose. Do you trust me? That's what the Lord is asking. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Oh, we love to sing our songs. Our God is awesome. We love to sing those songs. And we sing it with such American Idol-ish singing. And you hope that Randy doesn't say, that's going to be a no for me, dog. And God doesn't care about your singing. You want to know, where is it coming from? Is it a heart that's blackened like the tare? Or is it like the wheat with the white nutritious kernel in the middle? What is our hearts like? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. Present our bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and acceptable. What are we to present? Well, we're to present our bodies. The bodies we started on last Sunday, and by way of reminder, the body is an outward organ of the will. An outward organ of the will. Hold on 1 second. An outward organ of the will. I want to kind of, you can see that. Outward, excuse my writing, organ of the will. Key word, outward, meaning that which we can see, put on display, exhibit. It's a manifestation of our will. We want to do, whether it be good or bad. So think about this now. When we sin, S-I-N, or when we do that which is righteous, either way, the body is the organ. Organ means tool, or the instrument through which we put on display either our righteousness or our sin. That's how we present to the world whether or not we are children of God or children of darkness. Whether God is our father or Satan is our father. There's only two fathers. There's only two groups. The devil got us all caught up in all these five races and all that. All those are just smoke screens and distractions. Because in heaven there will be no ethnic cultural section. The Asian will worship the God over here. They way, the Asian way. And we got the black folk over here in heaven. No, Revelation tells us of every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. All of these multicolors are but a distraction. There are only two groups. There are saints and sinners, righteous and unrighteous, children of God, children of the devil, period. Yes, the devil is a father. Jesus said in John 6, oh, ye are of your father, the devil. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, meaning two things. The devil is a father, and the devil has children. And the father has children. For the children of God, children of Satan. When we walk around and live out our lives on a daily, every day our body
is an outward tool, organ, instrument of our will. Our will is what we want to do. Are we choosing to serve God or are we choosing to serve Satan? Whichever one, the body's going to express it. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. How will we know your fruit? Through how you act. Through how you carry yourself in your physical body. Can you see now why he's focusing on that body? Because that's what we use to show either that which is good or bad. That seems real simple, but sometimes I like to state the obvious. Sometimes we overlook that. Why did he ask for the body? Why didn't he say, just present yourselves as a living sacrifice? Or just give me you. He specifically mentioned the body. The body. Because that's what we use to express ourselves. Now, our body is more than just the physical shell, as someone once said. It's more than just a physical shell that houses our spirit. The body is a shell or a house in which our spirits live. Death, physical death, we look at it as the end of something. But it's not, it's just a separation, it's a transition. And Word of Life, I know you've seen this many a time, so bear with me. When we talk about the physical body, we're talking about the body, and then inside of that body is the real us. So this here is spirit. That's what houses / soul. And this right here is the body, the outer part. So the body houses the real us. We're spirit beings. That's who we really are. We live in a body. You know who else lives in this body? The Holy Spirit. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is also in this body. He's also in this body. Let's put him in there too. He's not our spirit. No, he's also in there. And he counsels our spirit. Romans 8:16 says that the Holy Spirit witnesses or testifies and communicates to our spirit that we are children of God. So there's a communication between the Holy Ghost and our spirit all happening within our body. Now what death is that the body, the spirit, then exits the body. See, death is always separation. Death is separation. Spiritual death, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, what happened was they became separated from God. That was spiritual death. Physical death is the separation of the spirit from the body. Yep, you're right there. And what happens is that the real you, which really gives animation and life to the body movement, is now gone. That force is now gone out of that body. That's why the body slumps to the floor or doesn't move anymore. So it's not just a body that's just sitting there. It's a body that houses the real you. Amen. And if you're born again, the Holy Spirit is also housed in there. And if you really want to know something, so is Christ Jesus and God the Father. Because it let us know that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. And it's Corinthians says, he said, I will be with them and I will walk in them and I will be their God. They will be my people. So God the Father is in there. God the Son is in there. God the Holy Spirit resides in there. And that's something, that's why we always say we travel with a gang of three. Wherever you go, plus your ministering angels, you're never alone. But our bodies are more than that. Here comes the other part. Guess what else lives in there? We'll make this dude yellow. Guess what else lives in there? That nasty flesh. Oh, Lord. Everybody laughing now. And we done seen flesh rise up in every last one of us. There's not, back in the day, we say that nan one. Not a one can say, I haven't had a fleshly moment. We all have. Why? Romans 8:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In our bodies is also this flesh. It gets us into so much trouble. Someone once asked the preacher, how can I make the devil stop coming after me? He said, you got a gun? He said, well, you ask for a gun. He said, can I just shoot you and kill you? Then the devil won't ever come back after you. What was he telling the person? The devil won't stop coming after you. As long as you are alive on this earth, he's coming after you. As a matter of fact, I don't have any good news. The bad news is the more you stay in this thing and are more consistent in walking with the Lord, the more he's coming. Period. If he's not hardly bothering you, you need to check your spiritual walk. Let that say loud for a moment. If he's hardly not bothering you, you need to check your spiritual walk. That means you're not a threat. See, the sinner is already on his side. He got them. So now you know they just. Remember, you're of your father, the devil. And the lust and desires of your father, you want to do. So the devil's children want to mimic their father. So you have to worry about them. It's the Christians that he's coming after to disrupt. So it houses our spirit and our souls, but it also houses our flesh. Our flesh. So when we talk about the body, just in a few more moments before we close, when you talk about the body, when he says to present your body, he is talking about the physical organ, absolutely. But I'm giving you some why he chose body. Why he said, give me that body. Present it to me. Put it at my disposal. Some of us need to be made sick, to be humbled. Some of us need to have some sort of ailment, something not right, to keep us humble. Like Apostle Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh sent to buffet and bruise and batter and beat me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be thought of more highly than I ought to think of myself. He was sent to humble him. We need that humbling because we do get high and mighty. I remember when I tore my Achilles, I was in Detroit to go to a specialist to look at the Achilles. And I hadn't walked on crutches before, and I mean, I kind of had an idea how to do it, and it was just humbling, you know. I tried to get to a wheelchair, and so I found one, and somebody came behind me. You know, would you like to push? May I push you or something like that? And I'm thinking to myself, boy, you see our autonomy, self thing, do your own thing. I don't need no help. I'm good, you know, that kind of thing. All that is challenge. Yes, help me. I'm hurting, my arms is raw, because you're not supposed to rest your underarms on the crutches while you're walking. You're supposed to kind of, you know, back. So when you don't know that, my arms is raw, I'm hurting, my foot is throbbing. You just humbled. Then on top of that, my gas was low, so I had to hop in, and it was the rain, and my foot got lost my balance because I had a sock on because I couldn't put a shoe on, and foot stepped into about that much water, so now my sock is soaking wet and I'm hopping around looking real crazy. And I'm thinking, yep, this is just what you need, kid. Just what you need. You can laugh, Thomas. It's all right. That's right. We get too high on ourselves, too full of ourselves. He knows how to humble you. Humble me, humble us for his glory. He just didn't harass Paul to harass Paul. It was to keep him from being prideful, to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And so when we talk about the body, we must talk about all of this. We must talk about our will. We must talk about the flesh, that it is an instrument of our will, an organ that we use. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Last thing, we'll close. Our bodies, as a result, our physical bodies, they are physical beings, but as we just mentioned, it is also the place where our longings of our mind, emotion, and will live. They live there. And in particular, when I'm talking about the flesh, when I'm talking about the evil longings of our mind. Let's read one scripture and we'll get ready to close. Romans chapter 7, look at verse 5. Romans chapter 7, look at verse 5. Our bodies also encompass our flesh, that unredeemed part of our humanity. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions and desires and cravings, which were aroused by the law, were at work where? In the members of our body. You're reading it. To do what? To bear fruit for death. Because the wages of sin is death. So when we bear fruit, then death is the result. That's your paycheck, wages. That's your Friday night paycheck for a week of sin. Now, when we talk about death, it includes physical death, but not only that, it can be death of a relationship, death of status that you enjoy so in the community. Death of your wages. I mean, you know the story. When I started about the pastor here, the Lord took me out away from my job. You're going to retire from teaching. 40 years old. You are finished. And you'll start pastoring. And you only pastor the church in the basement. You go from $50,000 to $10,000. You take a $40,000 cut and the death of your medical insurance. But there was no insurance. When I say, put it at his disposal, do with it whatever he wants, that's what I mean. He may take your job where you are forced to have faith in him. If you're honest with yourself, really honest, we put a lot of faith in money. And when you have a weekly paycheck or a way to make money, and you know you can just go out and make money, we tend to not have faith in God. And the only way, one of the main ways that he can get our attention is take the source of income away, where you're forced then to have faith in God. I thank my God that he took my income away. I thank him because it forced me to have a relationship with him and increase my faith and my trust and my reliance upon him, my depending upon him, my counting on his power, his might, his glory, rather than my own abilities. to make money. Trust him. Trust him. The members of the body is where the sinful passions and desires and cravings were exhibited. They were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death while we're in this flesh, in this life apart from God. Remember that. Slide down to verse 22, same chapter, verse 22. Same chapter, verse 22. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Members are the parts of your body. You sin with your body parts, your mouth, your eyes, your hands, your feet, and other parts. We sin with our body. When you gossip, you're sinning with your mouth. When you backbite, you're sinning with your mouth. When you lie, you're sinning with your mouth. When you're angry, you're sinning in your heart. Long before there's murder, there's anger. Anger is a sin that produced another sin, which is murder. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, it's not enough for you to just say, hey, don't murder. He said, no, if you're angry with your brother, you're already sinning. It's not enough to not commit adultery, married men or women. Jesus said, but if you think about it in your heart and lust after another person, you've already committed adultery in your heart, in God's economy. See, God's standard is way more strict than ours. We say, hey, I ain't never cheated on my wife. Yeah, but how many times have you ruminated in your mind over so-and-so who's looking a certain way? With yoga pants. And I've told the church, I rule the day they allow yoga pants out of the yoga studio. Why? Why? Yes, Lord Jesus. And you try to live a holy life, and you keep the covenant eyes that Job, I made a covenant with my eyes. Boy, that is a struggle. Why can I be a Christian just right after Jesus? Someone back in where there wasn't no yoga pants. Man, are you kidding me? No shame. No shame. My Lord and my God. And that makes that fight to be holy inside before God more difficult. But that's all right. Apostle Paul says it, 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith. That word fight in the Greek is agonizomai. Agonize to the point of exhaustion. That's how you fight. You don't say, wish there weren't yoga pants. Then you got to fight. There are yoga pants, and they're everywhere. They are ubiquitous. Everywhere. What are we going to do? We fight. We fight. The more we stay with our wives, the more Sister Do Wrong is floating nearby with a wink and a thigh. Watch out, Thomas. Watch out. We got to fight. Amen. You must aggressively live for Jesus Christ. You must be a gangster.
Yes.
A spiritual thug.
Yes.
Because if you weak and soft and you pumped out like a lot of these punk preachers who are preaching so soft to the people of God that when the congregation walks out of the sanctuary, they don't know what to do when tragedy strikes their lives. They have no idea how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6 and 18. Have no idea. Because we all up in here know that a 2:30 a.m. call is coming with your name on it. Tragedy strikes. You know that.
Let's know how to live for him. Let's know how to live for him. Let's know how to handle it in his might and his power. Be strong, in the Lord and in the power of his might and not yours. Lord God, help us.
Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you for your word today. I pray that it was a word spoken in due season. A word that we can hear, receive, ingest, but also digest. Help us not to spit it out. We ingest, chew it up, then we spit it back out. Well, we never got any of the nutrients that were available to us from your word. Help us to ingest and then digest, so that we can partake of the nutrients, the rich spiritual nutrients for our spirit being.
Yes.
And become stronger in the things of you. Yes. Help us to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and with all of our strength.
Yes.
These blessings we ask in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.